Tess Gerritsen, physician and author of the very popular Rizzoli and Isles novels, joins us by phone tonight. Her internationally best-selling suspense novels have led to a television series, Rizzoli and Isles, now in its fifth season, that follows the adventures of Jane Rizzoli, a Boston homicide detective, and Dr. Mara Isles, a medical examiner. Tonight, we're going to talk about her latest novel, which is titled Die Again. Tess, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
It's great to be here.
So let's start by talking about geography, because one of the elements that makes Die Again so intriguing and scary right off the bat is the place you've chosen to set some of it. So where does the novel begin?
The novel begins in the bush in Botswana. It involves seven tourists from around the world who've flown into the bush to have the safari of a lifetime. They drive away into the wilderness and are never seen again. And 6 years later, there is a murder in Boston where Jane and Mora encounter a body that looks like it's been hung and dressed like game. The victim is a big game hunter himself, and they follow the clues and realize this may be related to death in wilderness areas, possibly around the world. And the vital clue is in Africa and involves those missing safari tourists.
I'm wondering, in part, does your research provide for trips to places like Africa, or is that just a place that intrigues you?
Well, I was on safari in Africa a couple years ago, and that's where this book got started. We had a lovely afternoon where we were standing out in the bush with the cocktails, and out of the bushes walked a leopard, came right toward us. And our bush guide moved himself between the leopard and us and made himself really big, put his arms out, and the leopard decided this was not worth her time. She turned around and disappeared back into the bushes. Well, we were all freaked out about the whole situation. But it got me to thinking about not only leopards, which are beautiful creatures, but the dangers of the bush and the fact that you put your lives into the hands of one person you have to trust. What if that person is not who he said he was? And then maybe the most dangerous predator of all is sitting in your camp at that moment. That got the creation of the story going, and that's how this became a novel.
I also want to talk a bit about these interesting women characters, main characters that you have, Rizzoli and Isles. And part of what I always appreciate in your novels is that you really do make them three-dimensional characters. They each have different challenges, shall we say, with their mothers.
Jane is a blue-collar woman, raised Catholic in a stable household, and then her dad leaves her mom. And so her mother is struggling with the problems of an abandoned wife and finds a new life, a new romance, and then dad wants to come home again. So Jane is struggling with her mother's romantic travails. Mora, on the other hand, has a mom who is in prison, a mother who is truly evil, who gave her up for adoption, but who is a serial killer. So Mora has to struggle with the fact that she has a bloodline that is pretty scary, and how much of that has she inherited? Now her mom appears to be dying of cancer in prison. Should Mora make one last gesture as a daughter and reconnect? She has to struggle with that.
Do you, again, do a fair amount of research on how characters die off in your books, or is that all from your imagination? Combination of both? How does it work for you?
I do a lot of reading of true crime stories. You know, I subscribe to forensic pathology journals and to forensic journals in general. And so a great deal of what I write about has actually happened or been done to another human being. No matter what I imagine, reality is far worse, I think, when you think about the horrors that are happening around us all the time. I don't write about violence so much. I think I write about the aftermath of it more. The violence happens off the page, and you see my detective and medical examiner walk onto the scene afterwards and look at it and try to reconstruct it in their minds. So what you are seeing is, yeah, sometimes gruesome, but that is exactly what an investigator would see.
One of the other things I'm curious about is, for you as a writer, are there sort of an ideal number or range of numbers of characters in a book? Is that a part of what helps you put things together?
Well, I think you have to have a minimum number of suspects for a mystery to work well, if it's a whodunit. But I try not to put too many characters in because I have trouble juggling them all, and I want you to remember the ones that are pertinent to the story. And if I were to say what are the maximum number of characters I would use as a point of view voice, I would say three or four. I try not to put points of view scenes in more than that number of characters.
I know what keeps us coming back to your writing, because you really do create such suspense for us. And I'm wondering what keeps you coming back. Is it that the characters develop along the way, or are there other things at work for you?
Part of it is the characters. I want to know, does Maura ever find happiness? Does Jane's mother ever decide which man she's going to choose? It's a bit of a soap opera in my own mind. To me, it's like having a pair of friends and you want to catch up with their lives. I write the books to find out what's happened lately, but I also write the books because I love exploring my own varied interests. I'm curious about a lot of things, and this particular book was writing about leopards and about hunting and about what it means to be a hunter. In other books, I've explored Egyptology, and I've explored all kinds of obscure topics. So the books allow me a chance to satisfy my curiosity and also catch up with the girls.
If I may, on a personal note, I'm remembering that your father really advised you to become a doctor because you couldn't make a living as a writer.
Yes.
Is he around to have appreciated your success? What's update
no,
us?
I wish he were. No, he passed away. He died of Alzheimer's. So he was already demented when I became successful, and that it was sad to not be able to share that with him. My mother lived long enough, though, to know that I was a success.
Wonderful. Tell us what's next for you.
I'm working on a book that is not part of the Rizzoli and Isles series. It's just about finished. It's about a woman violinist who picks up an obscure music manuscript in an antique store in Rome. She brings it home. She plays it. It's a beautiful waltz. And every time she plays it, her little three-year-old daughter goes berserk and does something horrible, like kills the cat or stabs her mother. So now Mom has to figure out, what is with this music? Is it haunted? Why have I brought evil into my household? And the answer takes her back to occupied Italy during World War II. A great deal about what it was like to be Jewish in Italy under the occupation.
We will look forward to it. So good to talk with you. You kept me on the edge of my seat yet again. I've been talking with Tess Gerritsen about her latest novel. It is titled Die Again and features her well-known characters, Rizzoli and Isles. You'll find more information about it at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.